Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva.
I'm like very excited. Okay. Hey, it's Eva.
It's Kylie.
Welcome back to Hello Universe after a, 3 to 4 week summer vacation hiatus.
Oh my gosh, we're so happy to be back.
So happy. Happy is an understatement.
I have a cup of tea and I've taken my bra off, so I'm like ready to go.
I mean, for you also got your foot, you got your footstool next to you. Like, yeah. You're ready to kick your feet up and go.
Yeah. Yeah. We kept like being about to start on. I was like, wait, I need to do one more thing to make myself more comfortable.
Yeah, totally. I like went off to the side and cracked my back because I'm like, oh, I'm about to like get into a conversation. I want to make sure that I'm comfortable.
Yeah. So behind the scenes in this summer break, so Eva has been moving. I've had a lot going on. We decided to take a mini summer break. And as a result, Eva and I haven't had hours each week to talk to each other. And it's been an absence that I have noticed. So yeah, we're both like, oh, what is happening in your world? I don't even know.
Totally. There's a lot to catch up on, I think, for both of us. There are things that I need your wisdom and guidance on, which I also can't wait to dig into. And also, I just know there will be spiritual lessons and takeaways and wisdom that I will personally glean from this that I also hope you, to your listeners, will also be able to find support in.
Yeah. And also, I'm proud of us for like taking a month and just being like, you know what? We're going to do the other parts of our life. And because I think that, old me, and I don't mean to speak for you, but I think old you also would have felt like, I definitely would have felt this pressure of like, but we have a podcast and it comes out every week. And like, who am I to like take a month to not be constantly in the churn? And it felt so easy for us to just know that's what we needed to do.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a long time ago, I might've been like, oh no, we have to be consistent. There are rules about how these things work. But literally this was just like it was so organic. And also, we were taking care of ourselves, so it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
I mean, I think the main thing for me is that I'm now in Portland, Oregon.
Ta-da! Yeah, that's big.
Yeah, we made the trek for, if you're just joining us for whatever reason, I made the move from Arizona to Portland, and it's been a roller coaster and a bevy of different emotions. Some of it's been really beautiful and some of it's been really hard.
Yeah.
And I think honestly, some of it's been harder than I thought it was going to be. And that's also what makes it hard. And
because there's things you prepare for. You're like, okay, moving and packing sucks, right? Like, I'm going to be exhausted. I won't know where the friggin' can opener is for 3 weeks. Like, there's stuff that you prepare for. And then, it's always the things that you weren't prepared for that are like a surprise. So, I'm going to go right to that point. What are some of the things that have surprised you in the way that they've been hard about moving?
Okay, there's two things that come to mind. One of them was that I think a lot of it is just like a weird unconscious thing. So what I mean by that is, I remember before we moved, Adam just made a statement very offhandishly. It wasn't a big deal. He's like, yeah, you know, moving is a really stressful thing. Like, you always read in like psychology studies that like there are three things that are the most stressful in your life. It's like death. I think like divorce is one of them maybe. And then the third one is moving on that list. And I was like, that's weird. I don't agree with that. Like, I don't want to say, maybe there's a naivete there, but I've moved so much in my life, but I have a really bad memory. So what happens usually sometimes if I go through a hard thing, I like also kind of forget about it and I'll forget that it was hard. But I was kind of like, I don't think that's true. I love moving. Like, it's great. And I think what I wasn't expecting was like how much the routines and the structure that I had cultivated in my life in Arizona were so good for me and so wonderful. And then I got here and like haven't had that and have been trying to get back into the swing of things. But I guess what I'm trying to say is moving, I think, could just be affecting me like on an unconscious, subconscious level in a way that I'm not even aware of. Just having your whole life sort of up in the air, everything upended, and you're like just totally out of your like groove or whatever.
And I really think this is a good point about like, yeah, we have all these little rituals and habits and patterns that we've built to like sustain us. I mean, I want to say even from as little as like knowing where you put your keys out down when you walk in the house, you know, it's like you might have like a formal morning ritual, but you also just have little things that you do throughout the day or like places you go for a walk or whatever that we probably don't even think about that we totally take for granted. And yeah, I imagine, I mean, does it feel like a little like you've been untethered?
Yeah, I feel disoriented.
Yeah.
I feel like more disoriented than I feel like I have in other moves, but I'm also like, is that true? Maybe I do remember when I moved from Taiwan to Arizona, that was also really disorienting. And it took me like months. Like I think moving does take time. And so I think that's how I feel now. And
I imagine also you must have suspected that Taiwan to Arizona would be a big change, right? Because it's like an international move. It's a huge time zone. You're living alone for the first time in Arizona. Yeah. So I imagine you were like emotionally prepared for like, oh, this will be a big change. And it sounds like you were like, oh, I've moved a bunch of times my whole life. Like this will be nothing. I just need to unpack some
boxes. This will be like cake. Totally. Cause I was like, I'm still the same country. Like I'm still with the same person. Like I know people in the city, like it'll be fine. But, oh, you know what? Oh God, there's so many things. And I also want to ask you about this. Part of it is also, I kind of went from living a more like rural life to now I live in a full blown city. And I didn't think it was a city because I compare every city to New York City and I'm like, oh, New York. But this is, I haven't lived in a city in a couple of years.
Yeah.
And it's the living in a city on top of now having the regulations of the pandemic being lifted. And so there's just like a lot of things going on at one time. And I think it's, there's like excitement, but there's also like a lot of stimulation and options. There's like all these things that I want to do. I'm almost feel like a little puppy dog in some way. Be like, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this because I'm in the new city and also like restricted.
We can go places finally. Yeah. I imagine also, cause this is your first time living with Adam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that must also be a like option thing, right? Like, oh, maybe normally you'd sit and read a book, but like your partner's there. So you talk and then watch a TV show or whatever. But
I want to ask you about, and I can get into living with Adam in a little bit, because I think that's interesting too, first time living with a partner. But do you feel like the pandemic is like lifted? Like it's over? Like what's that been like? What's your
chance? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, so that's been really interesting. I went to the movies the other day.
Mm-hmm. What'd you see?
We went to go see Black Widow.
Oh, cool.
Which was very fun. A couple weekends ago, we also went to the movies and saw Fast and the Furious because my husband
I've seen both of those movies because Adam also has a thing for Fast and the Furious. And it was...
Oh, that's very funny.
It was so bad.
It was so bad. But like it was bad in this movie. Like it knew it was bad. So it was like, it was very fun. I like that we went to the same movies. And that felt like a big thing to me of like, oh, the pandemic's, I want to say over, and I know that's not totally accurate, but that was like the feeling for me of like, oh, like we have turned a corner, like I'm going to the movies, you know? Mm-hmm. That's been our, I mean, I also live in Massachusetts, which is like, I don't know, like a really high percentage of vaccinations. And so like cases are low and it feels really back to normal. Which feels like I actually thought that it would be more unsettled. It just feels like normal again.
Yeah. That's,
I thought it would be a bigger transition, but it actually just feels like, oh yeah, I go to the Y and we go to the movies and Like,
yeah, but I think that's what's actually messing me up, because I keep expecting some profound hit of like, ah, because we kept talking about this. Like, we spent 2020 on this podcast lamenting and reflecting and learning from this pandemic. And then we kept being like, oh my God, what is it going to be like when everything's, you know, when we turn that corner? But it's actually just been like, oh, we're going back to real life. But I feel like it's almost eerie to me that there hasn't been a profound like aha moment.
I mean, I feel like a very different person than I was a year and a half ago. So even though the world feels like it's resuming a kind of normalcy, I don't feel like the same. I mean, one, my life is just different, right? Like, I used to take a train to an office and I don't do that anymore. But also, like, I feel stiller. I feel more grounded. Like, yeah, I'm just, this experience in large part brought on by the pandemic has changed me. And so even as things open up, like, I don't feel the freneticness that I think kind of was the drumbeat of my life for a long time. And so that feels really nice.
It's just interesting because like I have clients who are in other countries who like still haven't even been able to get the vaccine yet. So it's like, it's also just, that's a weird disparate thing. But because I keep saying the pandemic is over and I just want to watch my language. It's totally not over.
It's not over. And in many ways, it's not over. And especially in other countries, but even, you know, within this country. And like we went on vacation to Cape Cod and it was a rainy day. So Cape Cod, for those who don't know, is like a little beach area. It was like a series of beach towns, and there was a rainy day, and there's like a little pirate museum there. And so we're like, oh, we'll go to the pirate museum. And of course, every family on vacation also was like, oh, I'm gonna go to the pirate museum. So that was really, really crowded. And we all wore our masks because it was like, oh, this is just like a really crowded place and it's a small place. And so that felt like very like, oh, yep, pandemic. But other than that, it's been, and I guess also it's been summer. So, right, like mostly I'm like going to the beach, the pool, like I'm doing like outside stuff. So I think that also.
Oh, summer. I do love summer.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll get to the second thing I was talking about, though. The thing that's really been a kick in the ass. And I think I'm so happy that you just said this thing about being a different person, because that's what I've been learning about myself. So the thing that has been really hard, and I cannot believe this is making this feels like as deep a cut as it does, but what's hard is me not being like living in nature. Like, like that I can literally feel is not good for my soul. So as a setup for listeners, when I was living in Phoenix, Arizona, which by all accounts is a city, but I remember I made a promise to myself actually in Taiwan that I would never not live in or very, very close to nature ever again. Cause in Taiwan, I was very close to nature and I was like, oh, this is the shit. And then when I got to Phoenix, I was so intentional about looking for a place where I had direct access to nature. I was basically in the desert. And then I had all the wonderful city things that I needed, like, you know.
Your like backyard was this huge, beautiful desert park, right?
Yeah. And I was in it all the time when I was like answering client messages and Voxers, talking to you via Voxers, often like in some type of desert, just like stomping around. And the desert is this like mystical, beautiful place. So moving to Portland, I was like, oh, Portland's nature-esque. Like the person who helped us find this place was like, oh, there's nature everywhere. And I can't believe that I didn't do more research. I think because it was already so competitive to find a place to live at all to begin with, I was just like, cool, Portland's nature-esque enough, I'm sure it'll be fine. I just didn't really do my research. But it's like, I think a lot of other cities, you have to drive like 40 minutes to get into like deep nature, or I can drive like half an hour to get to like Forest Park, which is this huge, gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful, stunning, like enchanted forest, which is awesome. And so that's what I've been doing. But similarly,
a half an hour drive is different than walking out your back door.
Like living like what feels like in nature. And when I say I feel like I'm a different person, that's exactly kind of, those are like the words, that's exactly what I've been thinking. And I think the pandemic has also, like, it's funny how, I don't want to say just the pandemic alone has changed me, because this has been definitely a gradual change, But, and you've heard me talk about this on the podcast, but I'm in trying to live a life in which I am just in nature, like all the time. I thought Portland was going to be a stepping stone for me to be in nature even more, because the Pacific Northwest is like this very magical place. But I'm like legit in a city, and I'm like, I'm a different person, as in the pandemic showed me that I really thrive. I know this is not everyone's experience, but I thrive in like, I love being alone, simplicity.
I love you've been saying all this for a while. Yeah. And it's, and I also would have thought like, I felt like you were moving closer to nature, right? Because we share a love of the desert, but it's a different kind of nature, right? Yeah. It's like this rough, like the beauty of the desert is like, holy shit, I can't believe anything is living here. Versus like the like kind of abundant rainforest vibe of the Pacific Northwest. And so, yeah, I also felt like, oh, awesome. You're like moving closer.
Yeah, to I'm like following my
final vision.
Exactly. Of me being like an old witch lady sitting in a rocking chair on her porch in the forest somewhere making her own medicine. Like those are goals. And I thought I was taking one step closer, and now I feel like I've actually taken one step back. And
that like pains me a little bit for you.
Yeah. And I'm really not sure what to do about it. I'm sure like in some ways, like it'll, like I know that I'm an adaptable person, and I also do believe that things tend to like work themselves out.
Yeah.
But it's really ingraining into me, like who I am right now. Like it's crazy because I've always been a city person, and I just thought that that's who I still was. And I'm like, oh no, like 60-year-old Eva and her like soul wants to be in nature. And this is making me be like, okay, I'm gonna fucking double down on that.
Well, and maybe that's it. Maybe this actually is a move, like a big move closer, because it's making you crystal clear on something, right? Like there's a way in which, you know, maybe if you'd lived in a, like next to another beautiful park, you would have like, it basically would have enabled the part of you who's like, oh, it's easier to live in a city, or I think of myself as a city person, and so blah, blah, blah. And like, maybe would have delayed this actual deeper soul desire, which is like literally to live in a cabin in the middle of nowhere in the woods. So, you know, maybe it is a step in the right direction. It's just not a straight line.
It's not a straight path. Yeah. I mean, I do think that that's true, that sometimes, and I'm not just saying this, I've experienced this, like you have to take a step back sometimes to take those two steps forward. And I do think that that's like definitely true.
Yeah.
But,
cause it creates the clarity for you of like, oh no, this is the answer. Like,
yeah. But it also is like awakening me to this thing where like, I don't know, it sometimes it just still feels bananas to me. Like we had Amy Dempsey on our show. And so following Hawks on
Dempster,
Instagram.
Amy Dempster, yeah.
Dempster, sorry. And she had this life where she moved from Sacramento into like the deep woods. And I just never thought that I would be that kind of person, but I'm like, that is, cause I remember asking her on the podcast, I was like, isn't that scary? Like, it just seems scary to like be so removed from everything. And, there's like a resilience in seeing that, but I'm like, oh no, I think that's actually where I'm headed.
Well, and that, I mean, you're a city person, like who's always like, I have like a deep love for the city. I lived in the city of Boston and in its sister city, Cambridge, for, you know, over 10 years, but like, I grew up in a seaside town. My parents live in rural Maine now, right? So like, I have these like connections to lots of other places, even though I love the city, but like you grew up in LA and had your formative years in New York and went to college in Philly. And like you've literally always been.
Yeah, not only that, like, but I thrived in the city. Like I got to Philly and I was like, yep, I knew it. I was like, it was a feeling. Like if I'm curious, actually, I know I've talked to other people, so I'm not the only one who feels this way, but listeners, like I think some of you will get what I'm talking about. Sometimes you will just go to a place and it's just like, you either immediately know, like the energy here is for me or the energy here is not for me. Like there,
that's one of my favorite things to do when I travel is to like, just like imagine like, do I live here? Right. Mm-hmm. It's like there are cities, actually New York is an interesting place because just as an aside for me, New York is a place that like I want to love, but every time I'm there, I'm just like, this is not actually like, there is no, this isn't the, like, yeah. And it's, it almost makes me sad because I want to love New York City, but it's, and I do like enjoy visiting there, but it's like not the place where I live. And, but I love asking that question.
But I think that's how I kind of feel about Portland. Like I thought I was going to get to Portland and it was going to hit me and be like, this is, cause it checks all the boxes. It's got all these checking them, but I haven't had that bang moment yet that like, I just, it's a knowing of a certain, of the personality and the aliveness and the energy of a place. And I knew that when I moved to Philly and I knew that when I moved to New York and in Taiwan, like those were there.
So what was your experience in Phoenix when you moved to Phoenix?
That's a good question because yes. So I keep sort of coming back to that because I'm like, that wasn't my experience in Phoenix and I ended up loving it. So that's also what Adam has been reminding me of too, because since he's been like, well, look what you did in Phoenix, because I'll get to that later. But yeah, and when I remember moving to Phoenix, I was like, what the fuck is this? Because I was like, I was a total snob about it. My New York friends made fun of me for living in like a second tier city. Everything looked brown because I was like, everything's just brown and dry. And I like didn't get it. And I remember someone saying to me, oh, your eyes just need to adjust. And I was like, and I didn't understand that, but that's literally what happened. I feel like my eyes adjusted and I just saw things differently. So it just brings me a lot to this idea of like home. And I do at the end of the day believe that home is not circumstantial. It's something that you cultivate within yourself, which sounds like a little bit of a cheesy Hallmark card, but there is a spiritual challenge here, I think, which is that like, how much of your outside circumstance do you need to have be perfect until you can finally feel at home? Or can you feel at home within yourself and some basic things that then ultimately, I think, have the power to like rivet out to other areas of your life? And I think it's a little bit of a balance too, because I also don't want to like bypass my own feelings. And I think it's always important to acknowledge how you feel instead of being, because I could easily get into this really negative thought loop of like, why aren't you just grateful? You know, like why everything's really great, like blah, 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 blah. And I don't want, I just thankfully have had enough experience doing that to myself to know that that doesn't work either. Right. So like, I'm not here for the guilt. But it is this, it is a balance, I think, for me of being like, how much of my home is going to be circumstantial? How much of it is going to be embodied?
Well, it's interesting too, because I do think like, you know, this is like a silly example, but you know, we can find inner peace anywhere. And also when my home is tidier, it's easier for me to access that peace. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, my home is not tidy very often. But like, there is a truth that our external environment like impacts us. Mm-hmm. And so we can say, yes, home is something I choose and I create and it lives within me. And also we are like literally connected to everything because we are everything. Mm-hmm. And so when your external environment is nourishing, it is easier, right?
So then my question is like, what's the balance?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think you kind of just said it in a way. I think the balance feels like an end result. I feel like it's like the moment right now is like really honoring whatever's asking to be expressed and felt, you know, which is like, maybe there's some part of that's like, I'm fucking pissed. I got rooted my whole life. And like, this isn't actually where I want to be. And like giving that a moment so that it doesn't like turn into this like secret repressed resentment, you know, because if you give that part of you a moment to just be like, I feel a little hoodwinked. I feel like I hoodwinked myself or like whatever.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay, well that's out there. That's in the open. I can see it. And then I can also bring these other parts of me out and we can like, you know, navigate it, negotiate a truce or something.
Yeah.
But jumping all the way to balance.
Yeah.
Might be unintentionally kind of gaslighting something. Does that?
No, I think you are super spot on because the theme that I come to again and again in my life, which is also the thing that I, you know, not surprisingly work with my clients on is like, it's actually the acceptance of what is,
yeah,
is then what transforms you to be able to make the change that you need. Meaning like being with what arises, even if that what's arising is like, I've just been like so OCD about like needing to get certain things in my house, right? Because that's just the thing that's going to make me feel more grounded in that moment.
Do you think there's also just some unexpected grief that's happening?
Ooh, Kylie Caldwell coming in with the question. That's interesting. That has not even crossed my mind at all.
Yeah.
When you say that, what I think of, I mean, I'm assuming you mean like grief of leaving a life behind?
Grief, yeah. Whether it's the life of you living by yourself or Phoenix and what Phoenix came to mean for you, or just a chapter in your life that's closed.
I mean, yes, I would say now that you are, now that you've pointed this out, I'm like, most definitely, because I think that you can have grief for things even that you decided to leave. Like that. Like, you know, you can be excited about a new chapter, but of course simultaneously still mourn an old one.
Yeah.
So I think I've just been so focused on like, oh, wanting to love this new chapter so much that I didn't even take a second to consider like, oh, am I sad about leaving the old one? But I definitely think, oh, this is really good. I'm going to like go and actually be with my grief.
Yeah. Cause like, I mean, I think becoming a new mother is a perfect example of that. Like you know, you spend 9 months like getting ready for this kid. Often you've really like wanted this, you know, wanted this pregnancy or wanted this child. And then the kid shows up and your whole life is like the whole life you knew has died. And even though you're looking at this child and you're like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with you, it's disingenuous to yourself to not acknowledge like you've lost something.
Yeah. Oh, this is why I want to talk to you. I knew you were going to bring some golden nuggets in here that like, and again, this sounds silly. Like it's not, well, what I mean is the reason this is important to me is because I know myself well enough to know that I need to process my grief in order to then like be more present in the here and now, but I couldn't process grief if I wasn't even aware of it. So this is why, I just want to sort of recalibrate for listeners, like how this is actually a very practical tool I think, for like well-being, because it's again like knowing yourself, but also there's an action that can be taken here. And for me, that action, quote unquote action, is actually just like what I'm probably going to do later today is like lay down on my floor, which is like one of my favorite pastimes, and like feel my feelings.
God, I love you so much.
Because I just find it's like, not that I need to be efficient with everything, but it actually is a very effective
way. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do think, especially when there's something that we're invested in resisting, making intentional time to be like, nope, this is the 10 minutes that I'm just going to like sit with whatever I keep running away from. I actually think is like, it's like when people schedule sex. It's like, sometimes you just have to like be practical about that.
Totally. I totally agree. So, that is really helpful.
Well, yeah. I mean, the tip off to me was when you were talking about like being really like a little controlling about setting up your space just so. Mm-hmm. And that felt to me a little bit like almost like a bargaining thing. Like, oh, if I make this space just so, then it's fine that I left something behind.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. Thank you for that nugget of wisdom and insight.
My pleasure. Yeah. It's, I don't know. Grief is sneaky. We've actually been talking about grief I've been thinking about grief a lot in our house because we just made some big changes and my son has been going through some grief around, you know, we'll get into this. We didn't talk about this. This is part one, guys. Part two is coming. Cause Eva and I knew since we didn't talk for a month, we were going to talk for like a long time. So in part two, we'll talk a little bit about what's going on with me, but we made some changes to like our childcare arrangement. And now my son was like, just fucking miserable. Like he was just being like mean and exhausting. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, you're sad, but you don't know you're sad. So you're angry. And
Bingo.
Yeah.
That's the money right there. Meaning like when you are feeling something and you don't know how that you're feeling it, it manifests as something else.
Yes.
And then you're treating the wrong fucking thing. So me organizing my office is treating the wrong thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Like, you know, it does help a little bit, right? But in the same way that like my son kicking and like yelling and being mad, like helps a little bit. It doesn't get to the root, which is he needed to listen to the Aladdin soundtrack and be sad with me.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I want to stay with this topic though of moving though, because I feel like we've still only kind of scratched the surface on all the different like layers of it.
Well, I could talk about the good things too.
Yeah. Okay.
There have been some like really nice things. I'm sure. Wait. Okay. I can like probably list off other things that are annoying me, but they're not coming to me at the moment. You know what's been like the biggest shocker of all is that living with Adam, which was the thing that I was actually the most like anxious slash like what's the word I'm looking for, skeptical about, actually turned out to be the easiest part of all of
this.
That's interesting. This happens to me all the time actually, where the thing that I think is actually going to be really hard or the thing that I think I'm going to hate is actually the thing that I end up liking. Or and then something else difficult will come and blindside me.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay. I'm going to again talk about postpartum depression. So this is funny, but it's coming up again.
Please.
That was a huge experience for me with my son. So I had postpartum depression and anxiety with both my kids. And with my son, I like knew going in, like I told my mom, my husband and my best friend, like, you all like, I'm going to check, I check all the boxes of like likelihood for, you know, PPD. And so like, let's all just be aware. Mm-hmm. But I had a story of what that was going to look like. Like I thought I knew the ways in which becoming a mom would be hard. And in particular around PPD, a lot of things that I were reading was about like not really bonding with your kid. Mm-hmm. And he was born and I was like, oh, I'm like freaking obsessed with you. So I didn't realize that the fact that I thought about him dying 8,000 times a day was a sign that like something was wrong. And so I literally, it took months. I mean, it took almost a year, I think, until I really acknowledged to myself that like, I was like in a bad way, because in large part, because like we all were expecting it to look like something else. Yes. And so I had all my, you know, all my energy and attention focused on like this certain kind of like, oh, if I can't get out of bed in the morning, then we know I've hit a wall. But like that never happened because that wasn't my journey. And meanwhile, I was over here like, you know, doing other neurotic, exhausting, unpleasant things. So
yeah,
I think that can be, do you feel like all of your kind of skepticism was actually part of like processing so that it made moving in together easier? Or do you think it was just misplaced and you didn't have anything to be nervous about?
I think it was misplaced, meaning, but you should know this about me, that I have, I've always been, I don't know if you know this about me actually, but I've always been skeptical about relationships. So for the longest time, I had a huge problem with commitment. Mm-hmm. Like just like the idea of marriage was always like never, that was like, I'm never going to get married. So like all this trauma that then made me have this huge fear of commitment. So I was always like, and then I got in this relationship with Adam and it turned out to be so lovely. Mm-hmm. And then I think I transferred that skepticism into like, oh, living together is going to be that's going to be the real test.
Like the shoe's going to drop eventually,
that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of my like skepticism. But that has been such a beautiful lesson and blessing in a lot of ways. So I just thought it was going to be like hard and like I was going to be annoyed all the time, but Adam's easy. Like he's fucking chilling and he just lets me basically do whatever I want. It's true. So that works in my favor.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Cause that's a big thing, right? Like just, I don't know. It's a big chapter closing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm really, really, really happy to hear that.
Thank you. Yeah. Because you know how nervous I was about it, but I think I will say one thing that is helpful again was being very intentional moving in, like knowing myself, and he knows himself. He also likes a lot of space. So we found a place where we could cultivate that, where, again, I have this whole attic space to myself and it's quite large and it's my office and I come in here to meditate, and he has a whole basement, which is like his man cave. And he goes into there. We just kind of like meet in the middle of the house. So like there was, there is something really nice about being like, it is a, I don't know, I guess you could call it a boundary, or maybe just like a,
like creating intentional, like you each have your own separate space.
Yes. And we know that we need that. So that's, yeah, that's like, that's made it so much easier. But that comes from, I think, just being really honest and like direct with admin, being like, hey, I want to live with you. Cool. But can we do it this way?
Yeah. And like not needing to sacrifice. And like just having it built in, right? Like when you, like when you go upstairs, that's because you maybe have work to do, or maybe just need to be alone and lay on the floor and feel your feelings. And
totally. Like, I need a space to do shit like that. And so, but you know what's funny is like, this is one of those things. So I am a true believer that like, that you are the creator of your reality.
Mm.
And that can mean different things. That can mean how you respond to life is how you, how, what your reality becomes. But it, sometimes it is just in very practical logistical things, like advocating for yourself and saying, these are the circumstances that work for me. And I have clients who will come to me and say like, I want to do this, but it would never work because I could never do it in the way that will work for me. I'm like, well, why not? Like you can, you like totally can. You just need to get rid of the blockers that's telling you that you can't do that for some reason.
Oh my God. 1,000,000%. Because half the time the I can't because it's just someone else's story that you've internalized of like what's allowed or what's acceptable, right? Because you could have had a story that's like, oh, like I'd love to live with my partner, but you know, when people live together, they spend all their time together. And so the only way I get to have my independence and this relationship is if we live separately. And like that could have been fine, except for the part of it that actually really fucking wanted to live with your partner, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, what if you put it all on the table? Like, these are all the pieces that are important, and then just build the thing that meets that.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about this, I'm sure, with your clients too. This shows up in business or for anyone who even wants to just like pursue a dream. It's like people will say, I want to start a business, but I can't because I can't be on Instagram all the time. And it's like,
oh my gosh.
Well, you get to decide. And it took me so long to learn that in business because I kept deferring to the quote unquote experts to be like, oh, this is how you should do it. But now I'm like, you know, I do believe that I'm the creator of my reality. And I'm taking that and being like, oh no, I don't have to be on Instagram. I don't want.
Yes. I do talk about this all the time in my work. And the way that I talk about it a lot is about like, well, it's a couple different ways, but one of them is this idea, just talk about like the work piece for a second, is like redefining consistency. Like, you like, because this is a huge, huge, huge thing people tell me. It's like, oh, the reason my business isn't scaling, or the reason I can't quit my job yet, is because I'm not consistent. Mm-hmm. And their story of consistency is always someone else's story of like, you work from 9 to 5, 5 days a week, right? And you just like churn out endless content, which is exhausting and unsatisfying for most people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think really liberating if instead you flip the whole thing on your head. That's like, well, what do I actually want to be doing? Where do I want to be showing up? What do I find nourishing and interesting and enjoying? And how can I do that? And then just like fucking leave the rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the thing that I think took me a long time to understand, or actually it's more like once I got it, I got it. It's like, for me anyway, it's whatever I can get my energy behind is then the most powerful. So like, if I believe my energy's cool behind like, okay, so I'm going to run a business by not being on social media at all, but like, I really enjoy doing emails and I believe in these emails, that I think actually makes it very, very powerful.
Yes.
So like, I think your energy matters. Anyway, that's a bit of an aside. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Tell me, I'm kind of just curious about like, what the process has been for you of like softening into the space. Cause I think that you're, one of the things I love about you is that you're a very intentional person. Mm-hmm. And I just imagine like the process by which you kind of like moved into and like kind of, I don't know if this question even makes sense, but the process by which you kind of have settled into the space, I imagine has come with a lot of intention. I'm kind of just curious about what that process looks like for you. Does that make sense?
Kind of, sort of. So I hear what you're saying about being an intentional person. That is very true. But when you say softening into the space, you mean like, how have I been transitioning? And
yeah, like how have you made, like you talked about like making, being like very particular about your office, but like how, what does it look like for you to move into a place and like claim it as your own? And what's the process by which you make it feel like your home?
Oh, that's such a good question. Oh, the first thing that's coming to mind is not anything that I'm doing. Let me rewind. I will say one of the first things that we did was we saged this house, and we had like a little like thing that we did, a ritual, which was nice. But that's like, I don't think that was really it. I think,
although I do love that you did that together.
Yeah.
Because I do think for a lot of women who are in relationship with men who are spiritual, that they often feel, people talk to this to me all the time, like they often feel like they either need to like, they kind of like hide it from their partner, or their partner is like maybe even judgmental of it, or just like not that interested in participating with them. Mm-hmm. And so I really, really, really love that. Like, it would be sweet if he was like, yeah, sure, do your thing with whatever, that light that thing on fire. But I really love that he participates. I mean, I know Adam's really interested in spirituality too, but I just think that's really sweet that you guys were able to like
have that ritual together.
Yeah.
Okay, can I actually say something about that? Because I have actually had people ask me about this before. It's like, my partner isn't as like into this thing as I am. It's one thing if they're judgmental about it. I would say like, that's a different obstacle. If they're judgmental and they're judging you and they're like rolling their eyes at you, that's a different problem. But I would say if that's not an issue, they just like aren't spiritual, but they've never tried it. I have found in my personal experience, like if I'm excited about something and it like makes me happy, doesn't really, like, I see that like Adam kind of gets into it too, like me just being embodied and fully embracing it and like not being apologetic about it, and I'm just like having a good time, and I'm just like, you know, he's seen me sage my apartment before when he didn't really know like what I was doing, and then he saw me having a good time now.
Yeah.
Like, and then he's like, okay, like well, this, let's do it, like, you know, it's fun. So I do think that sometimes I think people try and like change their partners, but I actually think what's helpful is just you showing that like you're having a good time. This is fun. You're enjoyable. And sometimes I've also seen what happens for me and also my clients is that like their partners will be like, oh, this is working. Like you're getting the things that you want to get, or you're in a better mindset. I notice like you seem more chilled out. Maybe like she's on to something. Like that's another thing that happens.
I also think I have found, just on that topic, there was a period where I was projecting a lot of judgment onto Nick, where I was like assuming that he would think it was silly, or I was assuming that he would think it was weird. And so I was like almost getting defensive before he even had a chance to interact on it. And then I would like kind of hide it, assume like the whole thing, like the whole scenario existed entirely in my head. And he's over there like what, you know what I mean? and that's really a lot of my insecurity like earlier on about my spirituality in a relationship was just that it was mine, and I was pinning it onto him because it was easier to be like, well, he's not supportive, but like it had fucking nothing to do with him. And when I dropped my own baggage, then I could do what you were saying, share with him my enthusiasm. And then because I was sharing with him my enthusiasm rather than trying to like prove something, I was trying to prove something to myself by way of proving something to him, which is just like a lot of pressure when someone's like, I've been up since 6 with our kids and I worked all day, and what are you talking to me about? You know, like,
totally. I'm so happy that you brought that up. I'm like, nodding vigorously, because how often have we done that? I've done that in different scenarios where I just have an insecurity about something and I'm like projecting it onto someone else, because that's just, it's all my own.
Yeah.
Stuff. When that other person, you don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah. And now we're in this really beautiful place where like, because I feel so deeply rooted in my own spirituality, I mean, like literally we have like crystals and Ganesh statues like all over the fucking house. Right. And like, Nick will be like, why is this elephant? Like, Nick goes, why is there an elephant in the plant? We have a money tree. We have a lot of plants. He was like, why is there an elephant in the money tree? And I was like, oh, it's Ganesh. It's a Ganesh thing. And he goes, oh, okay. Like, didn't actually answer the question.
But he's here for it. He's like, cool.
Okay. Yep. That makes no sense to me, but that's totally fine, because that's what it comes down to, right? It's like, he has his spirituality, I have mine. There's an overlap, right? There's an intersection, but I don't. And as I've been like freer to express mine, what I found is he's freer to express his, which is not mine, right? Like, but he will, like, we are giving each other permission to share something that's been really, really beautiful. And if I had been locked into like, I need you to care about the Akashic records, mm-hmm. I would have missed out on something so beautiful, his own journey and his own beautiful wisdom and insight, which is different than mine.
Oh my God. I think that's so beautiful. I think what you said just now was so important, because I can't tell you how many times where like, I thought I understood, I thought I knew something, and I'd be like, but Adam like doesn't get it or whatever. And then I was humbled to know that like, he got it. He gets something else like way on a way, you know, different or even deeper than, or whatever than I do. And it's like, it's just every time I'm just like humbled and kind of like smacked on the face. I'm just like, I'm just making assumptions, I think. And then like you said, not making space for other people's wisdom that is already there to come.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really, really cool.
Yeah. And then the other thing I'll say on this topic for any listener, if your partner is judgmental of something that's important to you, that is a problem. Like, whatever it is, if it's Irish step dancing, if it's staging your house, like if it's important to you and your partner's being judgmental, like that is a conversation that needs to happen. Like, we have a rule in our house that Nick coined this phrase, which is like, if it's important to you, it's important to me. Mm. And I love that. Like, and like, that's a big part of how we parent our kids, right? Like, if it's important to you, it's important to me, which doesn't mean I have to care to the same extent, but it means like, this thing that's important to you is of value in our household. Yeah.
But also that he can honor and respect and acknowledge when this thing is important to you.
Oh, yeah.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
I would say like, that's time to have a conversation. And who knows, it could be like, if you're very spiritual, coming back to spirituality, if you're a spiritual person, if your partner has resistance towards it, it could just be that you need to have a conversation because maybe he was traumatized by his religion or something, you know, and then you could have a really awesome getting to know you conversation about like, what is this bringing up in you?
Right. And maybe it's this like locked in thing of like I was saying earlier, when we try to like force something on someone and then they have to throw up a boundary because they're like, whoa, 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 I grew up in an evangelical household and now my girlfriend won't stop talking about her religion. And I'm just like afraid I'm going to be force fed something, right? Like, who knows? And so, that softening into knowing your truth, making space for someone else's truth, but then also the clarity of boundaries of like, you don't have to believe this, but you've got to
respect
like,
it.
Respect who I am.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a like helpful little aside.
No, I love this. I love how our conversations, I feel like we're dropping nuggets of wisdom here.
Someone's taking notes somewhere. So being away from nature is really hard. Living with Adam is really nice. Let's go back to this being away from nature being hard thing, because it feels big.
Yeah. Well, I just want to put a call out to our listeners that I just know that we have some listeners who also love nature, and there's like some wisdom out there, and there's some, you know, there's also some people in the Pacific Northwest. If you have any wisdom or advice about wanting to live a more nature-centered life, but now also living in a city, please reach out to me, DM me, email me. I just think there's someone
out there. You have like a little garden or anything? Do you have a little plot of land?
So that's the other thing that's been really nice. So we have a backyard, and I haven't had a backyard in 10 years, maybe even longer, maybe like 12 years. I don't know. It's been a minute since I've had a backyard. So that's been super lovely. And I have two like raised beds that I'm going to really get into like gardening, and I have a hammock out there. So the backyard is awesome. And I'm like going to work that shit. But I think what I realized about it's not enough, as in what I love about nature is like the vast spaciousness and like solitude of everything. I don't know how to explain it. It's like, I really feel like I'm meant to be like medicine woman in a mountain somewhere.
Yeah. The romantic poets talk about the phrase, the sublime. And like, that's where that phrase comes from. And sorry, y'all, you're getting your English almost perfect. Like, this was the me who wanted to be a professor coming out. But the phrase, the word sublime, I love so much, because what it actually means is like that kind of awe that almost instills a sense of fear. It's not, sublime isn't just like, oh, that's so beautiful. It's like, that's so beautiful. And also, shit, I am tiny. And that is awe inspiring and also a little terrifying. Like all of those, all of that rolled into one, right? And like, I feel like that's what the grandeur of nature can do for us, is make us recognize just how small we are. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't, but in a like beautiful way, right? It doesn't, not just in this like, whoa, I am just like a tiny.
Yeah, it's in a
speck of stardust.
When I get to that point, anytime I get to that point, is which is like, you know, humility, non-ego, I'm like, that's when I feel actually the most free, because then I'm not, everything's not such a big deal, you know. Otherwise, everything is like, we're looking at everything in a, like through a microscope, like, ah, work is a big deal, taxes are a big deal, like the government's a big deal, ah, it's all a big deal. And then you're just like, you know, stressed out all the time. Actually, in, I feel what's closer to the truth is that like, none of it's a big deal.
None of it fucking matters.
And every time I get to that, I relax. And so I love that. Sorry, I feel like that was a bit of a tangent too, but I love that what you're saying that about nature, because I think that's, nature is one of my greatest teachers. And I actually heard Tara Brock say this recently, and I was like, that's it. She was like, nature is my religion. I'm like, if anything is going to feel godly to you and help you feel connected to all things, like, it's nature. And like, that's it. You know, I didn't grow up with any religion in my life, but like, I'm happy to let Mother Nature be my God, because she's just the all.
So, okay, here's my where I want to go. I kind of want to like get really clear for you on what it is that being in nature offers you, so that you, because there's a way in which you're going to nature for specific things. And if I may put words in your mouth, what you're experiencing is like, because I, you know, nature is my access point to A, B, and C. And because I don't have a nature the way I used to, I therefore don't have A, B, and C. But I think if we could get clear on what A, B, and C are, then you could find a way to reintroduce them or access them in different places. And this goes back to your balance question. I think you have to get clear on, or you could get clear, the invitation is to get clear on like, what is it about nature? What is it about what nature gives you that you're missing? And how can you, almost like a vitamin supplement, like how can you introduce it somewhere else?
Yeah.
While still acknowledging like, your soul wants to be a medicine woman in the woods. And right now in this moment, there's something that you are needing that perhaps you don't actually have to go have this sublime experience in nature to experience.
Yeah. Ooh, yes. Okay. I love this. I will say, okay, I cannot wait to like unpack this with you, but I will say one thing that was really helpful, what I noticed actually, where I kind of did coaching on myself, was I realized I was holding onto this belief that like, if I'm not in nature, I'm not like, I'm not in alignment. And it was so helpful for me to see that thought, because what I was able to do was bring myself back into being a sovereign being, where I was like, nature is not what makes me in alignment. Like, I felt unsafe actually being out of nature, because I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be like my best self. And luckily I like just did the work that I do on myself, and I got myself to a point where I saw that was false. And that was really powerful, because I was like, I'm giving away all this power into nature, thinking that I need it in order to be my best self. And so, but luckily I did get to a place where I was like, oh no, that's not, like my best self is actually just presence. Like once I get present, I felt like snapped back into just being me, just being me.
Is there a story that like the you who lived in New York City, like you love New York City and like you love, like, is there a story? Because I know that version of you is really different than the version of you now, right? Like, and she wasn't particularly present, and she had a lot of anxiety, and she like, you know, stayed up too late partying. And
And yet I love New York City. Yeah.
And yet you love New York City and you love her too. Right. But is there maybe a story that almost like an addict who's like, doesn't like a recovering addict who doesn't have their go-to support wheel anymore, being like, oh no, I'm going to relapse. Like, is there a part of you that's maybe like, oh, if I like, I'm now that I'm back in a city and I'm in a city that's where I'm untethered from nature, like I'm going to go back to that like anxious, busy self.
That's a good question. Not really, actually. Because I think, again, that's where the intentionality comes into play. Because I've been very intentional of being like, don't get me wrong, I've had that thought of being like, oh, but that's also related to the pandemic, meaning like something that I told myself was like, after the pandemic, I'm not going to do things that I don't want to do. I'm not going to say yes to things that I mean no to. Like, so the reason, and I think that's helped, because then when I move into the city, literally I'm just like, if I don't want to do something, I'm just not going to do it. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about this, but also like my relationship with alcohol, I'm actually going to be writing a newsletter about this and sending this out, but noticing like, oh, being back in the city, I've had this thought of like, oh, I'm going to go back and like live this more like social life where I'm like drinking all the time. And I realized like, even though I don't want to be drinking actually, cause I've realized I actually don't like drinking very much. And I think honestly, feeling like a sovereign being has been really helpful in changing a lot of that. Also, like, who knows, maybe just getting older. I'm 37 years old now. I'm just more in a place where I'm just like, don't want to expend energy on things that are gonna not serve me.
yeah, that makes sense. Okay, then, if you take a moment and tune in, right? Like, cause we can answer questions from our head or we can answer them from like our heart. Mm-hmm. So if you tune into a moment to your heart and you ask yourself, like, what is it that nature and being like immersed in nature kind of nature gifts to you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to answer that, but I'm going to do a timeout. There's like a bumping in the background.
I know. It's my husband who's working out upstairs.
Okay. As long as you're cool with it. I just didn't know if
I I keep trying to mute when I'm not talking because I've noticed it.
All good. You know what? Good for him though. Oh my God. He's working out late. Good for him.
I know. We have a Peloton and he's like, he works out all the time. I'm very impressed by it.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive. Okay. So I'm sorry. Can you ask me the question again?
Yes, of course. I'm bumping, I think. Is here it goes again. Okay. So, okay, we can answer questions from our head or for me, it's my heart. I know for some people, it's like their sacral. So just like your head versus your body. But if you kind of drop in a little bit deeper and answer the question from your body, what is it that kind of immersive experience in nature gifts to you?
The words that are coming up are like cleansing, space, quiet, expansiveness, possibility, and stillness.
I'm literally getting a piece of paper because
you're going to get your coach hat on.
Yeah, I'm putting my coach hat on. That's what's happening right now.
Love it.
Okay, so cleansing, space, expansiveness. Okay, there was two more.
Quiet, and I think possibility.
Okay.
And you know what? Sorry, I do have to say, it's a physical feeling. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it is like good for my nervous system or something. And I also think it has something to do with being a projector. Like projectors in human design just need to be away.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Say more about like the physicality of it.
It's like when I'm in nature, I feel like there's a vastness. And so it's like, I want to say it's like I can do whatever I want and also do nothing at all. The physicality of it, that doesn't answer your question though. I think the physicality feels like ease. And again, it's this expansiveness. Like, it's like I'm making a motion with my hands. Everything just feels like there's an unlimited potential of my energy.
Yeah. So there's something like the link, like the expansiveness. This is really interesting because also as someone who I know you have chronic fatigue, so the like feeling like you have an unlimited possibility of your energy feels really big because that isn't always accessible to you.
Totally. And that's so not surprising because again, coming back to human design, as a projector, you get tired easily, but there are certain things that refuel you. And space is one of those things, like space. And I don't know if all projectors need to be in nature, but I wouldn't be surprised if that were true.
Yeah. I mean, like literally like with my kids, even like, I think Desi might be a projector. One of my kids, I don't know. I looked it up a long time ago. I've forgotten, but like literally like my kid, one of my kids will be upset and I'm just like, just go step on the porch. Mm-hmm. Like, just like, I will like shove them out. Like I once like shoved Desi out in the backyard, like in his underwear, just being like, breathe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It like recalibrates your nervous system. Like,
and it does,
you know, scientifically it's proven to be so. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, how do you feel in your body? How do you feel in your home right now?
Oh God, I love this question. How do I feel my home? I feel a little ungrounded. It's more like untethered. Things just feel messy. How do I feel my home right now? I don't feel at ease. I don't know. It's more like an uneasiness. That's what it is. I feel an uneasiness. And I feel well, I'm in this attic space. And so I feel a little at the moment, actually, no, not at the moment, but right now I actually feel really nice. But sometimes it just feels like
closed in
as opposed to like being out in the great outdoors where everything's like open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you feel in your backyard?
Oh, I love my backyard. Yeah. When I'm out there, I would say I feel like the air on my cheek, the breeze, the sun, listening to the birds, like I feel relaxed and more at ease. Yeah, I do notice that every time I go out to my backyard, I'm like, oh, this is nice.
Does your backyard give you a sense of this like expansiveness? So like it gives you a sense of ease, but does it give you this sense of like cleansing expansiveness?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I'm just like, it's insane how much I like being alone. Like how much, when I talk about alone, I'm like, I want to be out in nature.
Yeah.
Where it's almost dangerous because I could die and no one could find me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because I wonder if this would help, and I don't know if it will or not, but I wonder if in your meditation, you like invited in some of the energy of the expansiveness of nature.
Yeah.
Right. So like almost like the way someone would like invite in a deity. Like I almost want to like, I'm almost like envisioning you sit. Cause like basically what I think would be really cool is if you could like draw in some of this energy of expansiveness into your attic office itself. Right. Mm-hmm. So that when you're there, it felt, of course, it's not going to feel like the expansiveness of being like lost in the middle of the woods, but like something along those lines. And I almost wonder if you like sat still and invited in like the vastness of nature into your space. And like sat in the energy of it, you know?
Yes. No, this is Yes, 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 yes. Sorry, I'm really excited about this. Yeah.
Especially because it is very physical for you, right? So it like you can remember, you have that physical memory of it. So you could sit in your office and invite in that physical memory and just like basically imbue your space with some of that energy because you are that vastness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
I have so much I want to say. This is, yeah, I don't think the solution is going to be like, I think, you know, be in my backyard more. The backyard is a nice reprieve. I think what you're talking about is actually much more significant in that there's an opportunity here, I think, to really challenge myself to play with my energy more.
Yeah.
And to, because like I have been like, you know, energy, anyway, thinking about energy, but also in cultivating that. But also, I do believe that you can call in the energy of something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, sometimes it's like Ganesh and sometimes it could just be nature.
Yeah.
Sometimes it could be your grandmother, right?
So Elsa Janey, who previous podcast guest, I had a session recently with Elsa, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm. I actually had a session with Elsa too. She's awesome.
Did you? So,
yes. And listeners, if you want to listen to someone talk about communicating with animals, go back and check out that episode.
Go back and listen to her episode. It's amazing. So I had a session with her and one of the things that we talked about was like, she was like, I'm going to activate for you shape-shifting. And she was like describing it. I was like, I don't totally understand this, but like also like, you know, at this point I'm so like, yeah, okay, cool. I'll go, whatever. And I have since had this experience multiple times when I've been meditating in the records where like I had this experience where it really did feel like shape-shifting of like being a baby whale where I like could, it was like, I don't know how to describe it, but I could feel in my body the deep sensation of like being in the ocean and like this deep, deep, deep sense of peace. That's like, I got this giant ass mom with her fin hanging over me. And like, I am so safe and also like huge and just floating in the water. And it was a physical experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like, that's what I want. I feel like they're like, that's what I'm envisioning you doing. It's like sitting there and just like cultivating this experience that you have out in nature.
Yeah.
But just recognizing that like
I can be the creator of that.
Yeah. 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 Cause all you're doing in nature is actually like nature is mirroring back to you something that already lives within you.
Yeah. I'm tapping into something that's already there. Yes. Okay. So this is fascinating because something I've been really wanting to dive into more, I've just been feeling called to. I think this is one of those like natural progressions of where you might go when you're listening to your passions is very much understanding physical energy, like wanting to sort of master that, at least my own physical energy and learning what that means. And I think there's an opportunity. So I don't think it's a coincidence that you are mentioning that because that feels like in line with stuff that I've been wanting to dabble in and reach and like, all of this sounds, I don't know. It sounds, I feel a little nebulous and abstract, but if I learn anything from this, you can rest assured that I will definitely be back to share it on the podcast. Yeah.
I almost think you could do something really like a fun, like a playful version where you could be like, okay, today I'm going to sit down and I'm going to invite in the vastness of being in the desert. Mm-hmm. And then the next day being like, I'm going to invite in the vastness of being in the jungle in Taiwan and like notice, I just think that there's something really like playful here that you could do with cultivating this energy so that you don't have to roll. Like, cause I think that part of, if I could, what I'm sensing is like, there's this sense of like being trapped because this experience of being in nature and this kind of expansive possibility, it's unlimited possibility of my energy is something that is like deeply nourishing. And some part of you really like need, like feels like you need, and it lives outside of you. And you're like, well, I have to drive half an hour in order to get it. Mm-hmm. And shit, I don't always have that time. Yeah. And I feel like maybe the invitation here is like
to cultivate that within myself.
Yeah. And recognize, and like, then still go to nature, right?
Of course,
but like recognizing all the ways that you get to like call that up It feels like it could be really playful. I'm actually kind of excited.
I think it could feel playful, and I think it could be really potent. Like, I'm getting the feeling, like, my body is like, yeah, do this. Like, try this.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Ooh, yeah. I like this. Okay, so that being said, I'm sure I will have more to share about the movie in general. Some of it's also been, I mean, there have been other lovely, like, super lovely things that I haven't even had chance to mention, like reconnecting with friends that are just my, like, loved ones that I, and that's been awesome. And Portland is actually an amazing city. And I just think that there's, like, a lot of opportunity here for lots of different things. And my neighborhood is gorgeous. And I love living with my cat. I'll have to do a whole another thing about Pima.
Oh, that's right.
Because that's a whole, I've been learning a lot from living with just a cat. That's really cool. So all of that is more to come as I learn and grow. I can't imagine that I wouldn't share it, but I think it'll be interesting because I have a feeling, like with anything, a year from now, it's going to be interesting to see where I end up in a year from now.
Yeah.
Because if life has taught me anything, it's that I don't know. I just don't know what's going to happen. And that means that there's room for all sorts of possibilities.
Yeah. I feel like I want to like hold compassion for you that this move has felt complicated. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel excited to see how it becomes expansive for you, because I feel like you're someone so committed to like freedom and liberation and expansiveness that it feels impossible that this doesn't become expansive, you know, because it's just like how you move through the world.
Yeah.
Even if there is a sense of constriction that's happening right now,
yeah.
I feel like selfishly, I'm really like eager to see how we get to learn from you and how you move through that. Yeah.
Thanks, Kylie. I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, we will see. I'm really flattered though. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I think right now would be a good time to, let's do a round of joy. And then in episode part two, we're going to come and pick back up and talk about all things you, Kylie, because—
Yes, including, you guys want to tune in because I'm going to talk about a huge failure that I had, and which, who doesn't love a good failure story, and like how I've like kind of upended my whole life. So, you know.
Oh my God, it sounds like so many things have happened and I hate that I don't know what they are. So I cannot—
I know, I'm being such a tease. I'm just like, oh, not even telling you. And I told you a little bit, but okay. So before, tell us, Eva, what is bringing you joy right now?
Okay, let me think. It's so funny because I was just talking about how like this move, I'll just start saying two things can exist at one time, right? So like I can crotchety about some things, but also some things can be really lovely. And I think that's more the truth of like closer to reality, but I would say something that's bringing me joy is something like I feel like it has something to do with, well, let me think about this. I don't know, I'm sorry that I didn't have an answer prepared, so I'm just sharing with what's come up, and I'm actually surprised by what's going up. But it's actually, there's a feeling about living in Portland in the summer that I think it's bringing me a lot of happiness. And the things that I am loving about now is that like waking up and being with Adam in the morning and just being able to like, oh my God, I'm like rolling my eyes at myself because can't believe I'm gonna say this, but being able to give him a hug like whenever I want and these like long summer nights, like it doesn't get dark here until like 10 p.m.
That's right.
It's crazy. And it's like, so I'm like, and just like the warm summer breeze and like the Pacific North, it's like, it's just beautiful in the summertime. It's like that perfect summer. As if I was in Arizona right now, I'd still be in 115 degree heat. So
right.
I could say, I guess just something about living in Portland in the summertime with Adams. I'm surprised that this is my answer, but that's what's coming up for me. So that's bringing me.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. I love all of that so much. Yeah.
What about you? What's something that's bringing you joy?
So when I was growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. We went camping all the time. My parents did like a really, really great job of taking us on vacations, even though we were totally freaking broke, because we went camping all the time. And some of my happiest childhood memories are like sleeping in a tent, you know, staying up late, everything smells like campfire. Mm-hmm. And this past weekend, my parents and my husband and my two kids and I, we all went camping together.
That's awesome.
And it was so, it was like the second we pulled into the campsite, like some part of me just like melted. Yeah. And it was just like, it was so much fun. It was so cute seeing my dad taking my son fishing. And he was like, so, I mean, he's gone fishing with my dad a couple of times, but like they went out on this boat and like my daughter has been getting over being afraid of the water. And she was just like, so happy to be swimming and like waking up in a tent in the morning, like just like spoke to some like part of my soul that, you know, I just loved camping so much growing up. And it felt really, 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 really nice to be able to share that with my family. And I tried to take Nick camping before we had kids and it poured rain, the entire torrential downpour.
I remember,
rain.
I think you told me that one time you tried to go camping and just like blew up in your face, right?
Yeah. And so like, and like Nick had a great time on this trip and he just gave me like, that was so fun and relaxing. So I was like really, really happy that he also enjoyed this thing that is really special to me. Yeah. And yeah, it was just like everything that I would have wanted. Oh, and the campground did this, like they do like events every Saturday. So the event this past Saturday was Halloween. And so like they literally did trick or treating and I'm like, felt like a rock star mom because I like dug through the random shit in my camping bag and made them both costumes. Oh, and we like ran around the campground and like, you know, like Birdie doesn't even get that it wasn't like, Desi didn't even actually get that it wasn't real Halloween. Yeah, like, we had to explain to him that it was fake Halloween, you know? So it was just like, so and that was fun. Really like such a bonus. So yeah, it was camping. I already can't wait to go back next year. It was a blast.
That sounds so sweet and delightful. Not only because I think it apparently brought in some like this childhood feeling that, you know, that nostalgia, that's like priceless, but then that you get to share that with your kids.
Yeah.
That sounds really lovely.
Just seeing how happy they were, just like, you know, like bopping around. When Birdie's really happy, she does this thing where she like bounces on her toes when she walks and she was doing that. Cute. Yeah, it was great.
Sounds lovely. Also just like, you're just giving me like strong summer vibes, which I love.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Peak summer vibes. Yeah. So.
All right.
Well, we will see you all. Tune in next week.
Yeah. Come back for part 2. Yay.